You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM in Olympia, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. In an explosive exclusive, the Thunderbolt makes history this week by announcing the very first candidacy for the 2016 presidential election. Yes, since each election cycle gets earlier and earlier every cycle, the Thunderbolt has decided to jump the gun and get on the 2016 election while everyone else is still focusing on the boring midterms. But first, let's review our choices. At this point, there are exactly two choices for the 2016 presidential election. We will be clubbed on the head by the Republicans, or we will be stabbed in the back by the Democrats. At least everyone believes that those are the only two choices. And a funny thing about that, it is actually true. But only because everyone believes it is true. And if everyone would just stop believing it is true, then it would no longer be true. And so the Thunderbolt now officially declares that the official Thunderbolt policy for the 2016 presidential election is to encourage everyone to stop believing that having rigged voting machines deciding which of two lying corporate fascists that Wall Street is going to install in the White House every 4 years is the only two choices we have. And in that spirit, the Thunderbolt is now proud to revive a veteran presidential candidate from all the way back in 1984, and who, under the sponsorship and tutelage of the esteemed elder statesman, Wavy Gravy, ran against a B-grade movie actor turned presidential candidate, Ronald Reagan. Yes, as impossible as the dream seems, the Thunderbolt is proud to be the first to announce that 2016 will witness the revival of the Nobody for President campaign. Yes, let it ring out from the mountaintop. U.S. out of North America. Nobody for president in 2016. After all, nobody can end hunger and poverty. Nobody can bring an end to war. Nobody can provide the perfect society. Nobody can even cure the common cold. And if nobody can do all these things, then I think that nobody should be president. Let's hear it. Nobody for president in 2016.
Ah, yes. Here we are again. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 16th, 2016. So much of the news is so dispiriting these days that We are always happy to report any good news that happens to come our way. However, I should warn you that while this first story is ultimately good news, some listeners may have concerns over the fact that your nose hairs are the scene of an epic, monumental, ongoing, and thoroughly lethal battle. Yes, kid. It turns out that your humble nose hairs provides an unusually fecund environment for a variety of creatures of the microbial persuasion. Now, while you might be okay with these cute little critters setting up shop inside your nose, the problem is that some of them are quite homicidal. And some of them have absolutely no respect for the human host who supplies their bountiful paradise of snot. It turns out, in fact, that there's a 30% chance that the dreaded MRSA superbug bacteria has set up housekeeping in your snot locker, and that they are at this very moment raising their children up there, even as you listen to the thunderbolt. But never fear, you possessors of noses. We have a brave white knight willing to charge into the melee against these dastardly villains and turn the tide in the battle of the nose hairs. But make no mistake, the fighting is fierce and the stakes are high, for this is a fight over prime strategic territory. It contains a cornucopia of mucus and rich bacterial fodder. And in some cases, these bacteria are also subject to regular injections of cocaine, meaning that the stakes may literally be high. The BBC is reporting that by studying the casualty figures in this battle, some German researchers may have found an entirely new class of antibiotics that may prove effective against the new superbugs in general and against MRSA in particular. Yippee! Now, the last time that an entirely new class of antibiotics was discovered was back in the 80s. Nearly all previous antibiotics have been derived from bacteria that live in the soil. But these folks are saying that the human body itself is a possible new reserve. Enemy in the battle for the nose hairs is a type of bacteria called Staphylococcus aureus, which includes the dreaded superbug MRSA. And as I said, MRSA bacteria are found in the nose hairs of 30% of the world's population. So why isn't MRSA found in 100%? It seems that we have valiant, if microscopic, allies.
According to these scientists, the 70% of the population who do not have MRSA hanging out in their nose hairs have instead a competing bacteria called Staphylococcus leucodunensis that evidently is very good at kicking the asses of Staphylococcus aureus. The scientists are now experimenting and genetically playing with Staphylococcus leucodunensis to make it even badder ash, and they think they can come up with something to take on MRSA sometime in the fairly near future.
Thank you, good night.
Thank you.
It will be years of tests and trials, but a possible new class of antibiotics that target superbugs, I would say, qualifies as good news. And stay tuned to the Thunderbolt for further developments. There are three different science podcasts that I try to listen to every week. Last week, Big Picture Science, a project of the SETI Institute, and usually a most excellent science program, did a piece on a new technology called clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats.
Every day I get the cue. To get on a bus that takes me to you.
Or CRISPR.
I'm so nervous I just sit and smile. The house is only another mile. Thank you, job, for getting me here. You'd be an inspector,
CRISPR represents a new, quick, easy, and supposedly precise tool to change the coding of specific targeted genes whilst conducting genetic engineering.
Just to talk to my baby.
The hosts of Big Picture Science were nearly breathless in their enthusiasm as they described this new gene editing technology that is so precise and so easy to use.
Magic Boss!
It will allow
Magic Boss!
Nearly anyone
Magic Boss!
To experiment with genetic engineering. CRISPR can specifically target one single gene and change it. With CRISPR technology, as Big Picture Science explains it, it is possible to edit a single gene in a manner similar to editing a single word in a digital document. You simply tell your program to replace all the X's with Y's, and suddenly every X turns into a Y. As they began describing this new technology and its possible benefits, and the more excited the hosts became as they were describing it, the more alarmed I became. Yes, there are numerous potential benefits that seem nearly miraculous. In CRISPR technology, probably lies the cure for several genetically inherited diseases, for instance. The people that PBS interviewed were from an institution called Innovative Genomics Initiative at the University of California at Berkeley. Their website is innovativegenomics.org.
And the scientist that BBS interviewed was very pleasant and informative. And he reassured everyone that the adults were in the room and that everyone was being very careful and very responsible with everything that they were doing. He was also overflowing with endless details about CRISPR and the wondrous potential that lies in this technology. They even had a clever, entertaining, and educational skit about how CRISPR works. They used a word replacement program to change a verse of Shakespeare into a verse from The Wizard of Oz, which I found oddly appropriate, if for reasons I suspect the show's producers had not considered. Then, the BPS people followed this with yet another interview, this time with a biohacker who is literally using CRISPR technology to do GE experiments in his kitchen. And then he is sharing his results with an online community of other amateur genetic engineers. Yes, I just said amateur genetic engineers. The hacker that was interviewed explained the importance of placing all your GE manipulation tools into the machinery of the cell itself, so that you can produce the desired outcome. This guy even explains that when you're dealing with 10 to the 15th power number of cells, then some of your things will stick and some won't. And thus, it is largely a matter of trial and error. He is conducting amateur genetic engineering by trial and error. Finally, at the very end of the piece, the host does briefly mention, quote, "There are a number of ethical problems with this technology, and for all of its promise, there is some peril."
Try to hypnotize me, try to mesmerize me, try to destabilize the world. Call it propaganda, try to hypnotize me.
But they don't bother to detail such things any further. One of numerous very serious problems with all of this is that even in cases of genetically inherited diseases, highly varied suites of genes usually cause the vast majority of such diseases, and all of these genes all interact with other genes in various other ways as well. And as they seem to have to keep learning over and over again, when one is dealing with insanely complex systems that have evolved over 1 billion years, everything usually interacts with everything else. If you change one thing, then you are very likely to change a lot of other things as well. There are other questions that the hosts of Big Picture Science barely touched upon, though, as well. What about unintended side effects and potential catastrophic consequences if everyone and their grandmother were to start tinkering with the basic building blocks of life?
And you'll say,
what about unintended side effects and potential catastrophic consequences resulting from the fact that different genes often act in completely different manners when they are placed in different contexts. Also, since sex work often involves transferring genes from one species to another species, what about potential cross-species contamination? A bizarre new genetic characteristic that have never before been seen in nature. And how long before pathogens begin figuring out how to navigate this new cross-species highway? And what about fascists who want to use this technology to literally create classes of people, literally rewired, to do whatever the rulers need them to do? This can include eliminating all conscience and all morals from all of their police and all of their soldiers. And finally, what about the fact that if you seriously up, then there is no taking it back, as whatever catastrophe you just unleashed is now indelibly embedded into the genome itself. After Big Picture Science, I listened to another science program called Quirks and Quarks, a production of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And they also had a piece on CRISPR. Also began their program by extolling the many virtues and potentials of CRISPR technology.
Now the spouting potion of you.
But their lead-in was this.
It really doesn't bother me. You watch that car.
There is a fly in the ointment. Q and Q interviewed a scientist that described discovering a single gene that was causing blindness in mice. And he described how they used CRISPR technology to change that gene and to cure these mice. And subsequent generations did indeed stop inheriting that gene. However, they also followed up with a full gene sequence of the mice to see if there had been any other changes, and lo and behold, there were not only numerous other changes in the genetic wiring that had also come about due to their tinkering, but they were not changes that the scientists had predicted might happen, and in fact, the changes usually had no obvious connection to the blindness gene that could be made at all.
Someone will buy a sale for me. Someone will tell my bell.
ironically, they also use the word processor metaphor to describe this phenomenon as well. It was as if you told your word processor to change all your X's into Y's, but then it also changed a whole bunch of other random things into other random things on other pages as well. And maybe those changes were harmless, but maybe those changes made the entire paragraph, or even the entire page, incoherent. The scientists explained that it was, quote, hard to tell at this point what these other genes did. Now, this gentleman thus acknowledged the risks, but he thought that a cost-benefit analysis should be applied to this technology. He felt that targeting exceptionally vile diseases was worth the risk of unknown side effects, whilst manipulating genes so that your kid can have blonde hair is not. This stuff is very scary. And the tech is now moving very fast. It is literally being crowdsourced, in fact. So keep an eye on this stuff. In the meanwhile, it's time to take a station break. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Greetings, my children. You have reached the offices of Holy Miracles Incorporated. All of our miracle workers are currently out in the field raining down manna from heaven and are unable to answer your call at this time. However, I prophesy that you will soon hear a beep. That is your sign that the appointed hour has arrived. You must leave a message detailing the nature of the miracle you wish us to perform and the size of the donation you are willing to give in order to facilitate your miracle. And please note, we do ask an additional 10% on your donation for a translation fee if you choose to speak in tongues. In addition, the big guy upstairs is happy to announce that Miss Helen Waite has been promoted to head our credit department. So if you wish to obtain credit, you can just go to Helen Waite. And next, a word from Thunderbolt Management.
The management team here at the Thunderbolt have decided that our listeners don't already have enough to worry about. And thus, in our selfless dedication to public service and to tooting our own horn, the Thunderbolt now proudly provides you with yet another scenario depicting the end of the world as we know it. Yippee!
Yes, kids, elders, in-betweeners, and variously otherly aged folk. The Thunderbolt now wishes to tell you the story of a Big Bang. Now, to be clear here, this story is not about the Big Bang, but it is about a very Big Bang nonetheless. For after all, the bigness of any individual bang is both relative and subjective to the size of the bang, along with the proximity of the observer to the bang. And this can often skew perceptions as to the bigness of any given bang. And so, listeners, I invite you to imagine this. 2,000 Mount St. Helens's going off all at the same time, right smack dab in the heartland of the good old U.S. of A. Actually, you can't imagine that because it is literally unimaginable. Yet it has happened 3 times over the last 2 million years, and it is overdue to happen again. Yippee! While 2 million years may seem a long time for mortal human perspective, it is barely a blip in geological time. So you know, I spent a lot of time in Yellowstone National Park. It's kind of like being in a fairy wonderland with buffalo. I suggest visiting any time from September through May, but be prepared for deep snow and seriously cold conditions during winter months, which can start as early as August and last as late as June. But it is well worth the effort, for Yellowstone National Park in the winter is sort of like being in a fairy wonderland with lots of buffalo and with lots of snow. However, unbeknownst to humanity at the time, Yellowstone National Park hides a truly explosive secret. For even as I frolicked in fairy wonderlands during my carefree youth, I was completely unaware of the fact that as I danced amidst the mud pots and the buffalo, that I was literally dancing atop the end of the world as we know it. Yes, scientists did not figure it out until they studied pictures of the Yellowstone Basin that had been taken from outer space. And amidst a major blowing of minds and dropping of jaws, they realized what they were looking at. Yes, kids, neither I nor the top scientists of the day had even the slightest clue that the entire Yellowstone Basin, around 50 miles across as the bald eagle flies, is actually the caldera of the largest supervolcano on the planet. And yes, the word super in front of the word volcano means exactly what you might think that it means. In addition,
They recently measured the magma reservoir that is under Yellowstone, and it is a lot bigger than they thought it was going to be. Yippee. The music you are listening to right now happens to be my favorite piece of music I have ever heard in my life. And so I'm going to let you listen to the rest of this song uninterrupted. It's called Secrets. It is by Mike Oldfield. And I suggest cranking this up to full volume. Wow. That was fun. And speaking of fun, it's time to get to work now, kids. Thunderbolt calendar coming right up. And actually, there is no calendar due to the COVID-19 lockdown, so instead I'm going to play music to fill out the rest of the hour. This is Mike Oldfield. Enjoy. Right. That was called Great Plain. Before that was Red Dawn. And we started that set off with The Blue Saloon. All of those tunes are from Mike Oldfield, who is one of my favorite musicians I've ever heard. And that's it for this week. Hope to see you next week. In the meanwhile, hang in there. We'll make it through. Peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And please note that the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can now go directly to the Thunderbolt WordPress site, which is at dana98501.wordpress.com.
Thank you very much.